than courageous faith. You know, if you're going to make progress, we need to realize something. Fear is the price we pay for making progress. Name me something that we do as God's people, or something that you do that doesn't have fear attached to it, that doesn't have a big dividend and doesn't produce great results. If it doesn't have fear, then it's probably not going to be worth it. At one time, we all walked into a church building, and it took faith. Right? And then, for many of us, we responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We said, yes, I want to be a follower of Jesus. And that took even more faith. But that wasn't supposed to be the end of our faith journey. That was supposed to be the beginning. And unfortunately, many people stop right there and say, well, then I've arrived, I'm good, but we fail to take steps of courageous faith. I want to be a part of a people that continue to take great steps of courageous faith. So today, as we launch here today in Courageous Faith, and all summer we're going to be going through the book of Joshua, which is a story about God's people taking steps of faith. So how many of y'all know we can learn something from this? Yeah, come on. And before I get going with the word, I just want to mention something. I always promised myself I would do something. Kind of bittersweet. Our oldest church member, 93 years old. He was going to be 94 at the end of June. And he went home to be with Jesus. And he was one of our charter members. And I always said, every time one of our charter members goes home to be with Jesus, I'm going to honor them. I always said that. And as a matter of fact, Chuck Quinter was a great man of God. And he was, just show you how much faith he had, he was my Boy Scout leader. And he still came to church here anyhow. Come on, somebody. That's a man of faith right there. Come on. And Chuck was a great man, served faithfully in the church 40 plus years, served in a variety of ways. And I know he was a big fan of Pastor Gary and Donna when they came here to plant. And so I just want to mention his faith many of you won't see him this side of heaven now. You'll see him in heaven. But we're here as a result today for people like that that took steps of faith and who sowed faithfully into the kingdom of God so we could be who we are. And so I just wanted to honor him and his faith today. Amen? Amen. Amen. So here we go, Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read one verse to you here, and then we're going to go to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. Are you ready? Are you sure you're ready? Okay, here we go. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So here we have faith. What is faith? It's a conviction. It's a trust. Come on, it's a belief. It's an inward confidence on a reliance of who God is and that he's going to do everything he says. Listen, we are in a walk of faith. This is a walk of faith. We're living a life of faith. And conviction, it's an inner conviction which focuses on God. That's what it is. It's an internal, really when you think of conviction, you're persuaded. I've been persuaded that God is who he says he is. How about you? I've been persuaded that he is a good God, even though I don't feel it all the time. I know that he is, and I'm here today to remind myself of that. How about you? But there's this next word here about assurance, and assurance is I'm standing under the title deed. I'm standing under. I have the title deed that he is who he says he is, and I'm standing under here because he's going to do everything he said he's going to do. That's what it means. It means I got the title. I got the deed. I know what it is. He has spoken. And so I'm going to walk in freedom. I can walk beyond depression and anxiety and fear. I can walk beyond my circumstances right now. Even though my past is my past, and even though I may not have grown up in the greatest situation, my God has a future and a hope for me. That's what my hope is in. I got the title deed. How about you? See, listen, many people, they come to faith, and that's the last time they use their faith. And I'm here to tell you today that we as the people of God at Bridge City Church, we're going to take some bold steps of faith together. Who's in? Come on, who's in? Yeah, that's right, because I'm standing under here. So here's the big idea. You ready for the big idea? Here it is. A people with courageous faith will be driven by. That doesn't mean tolerated by. That doesn't mean they'll tolerate the Word of God. Doesn't mean they'll last longer than the pastor can preach. Come on, somebody. It means, listen, we're going to live and we're going to be driven by consecration. Everybody say the word consecration. Now say the word community. Now say the word commitment. See, we're going to be driven by these three things. And so we're going to go first to Joshua chapter 3. And in God's people, the Israelites, are about ready to go into the promised land, a land that was filled with goodness and plenty, and it was awesome. And so they're getting ready to go in here, but there was a Jordan River in between them that they had to cross. I want to let you know today that many of our lives right here in this room, that there is a Jordan River in between you and the promises of God, and God's about ready to part that river for you. Come on, are you hearing me right now? Yeah, come on. And so the priests, what they did in chapter 3, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. It had the judgment of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and the Word of God. That's what that was. It represented that. And they carried it, and they stood firmly on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan there. And all Israel was passing by on dry ground until all the nation finished passing through the Jordan. So there was a Jordan River they had to go through, okay? And so this is like, yeah, let's do it. Let's get the Ark of the Covenant and go. Have you ever watched a movie in the opening scene and then all of a sudden at the bottom it says, 3 days earlier? Have you ever happened to you? You're watching a movie, it's like, oh, that's a... something's about to happen. And that says 3 days earlier. So right now, we're going to do 3 days earlier. And we're going to see what happened to get them into the middle of that Jordan. You with me? So here, we're going to go back now to Joshua chapter 1. Here it is. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 10, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights. And make this little suggestion to the people. What word is that? Command. Command. Command the people. Hey, if you ever get time, maybe you could do this. No, Joshua went through, he says, command the officers, and then the officers told the people here, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now notice God in verses 1 through 9, if you didn't hear last week's message, you need to go back and listen to that, because I'm going to give you a really cool way to interpret the Bible. Verses 1 through 9 come before 10. Write that down. This is good. And so he says, be strong, be courageous, step out here. And so Joshua didn't say, well, let me check my weather app. He didn't say, let's form a committee. He did not say, let's take a vote. He didn't say, well, let's see who we got here who can make a bridge. No, Joshua had a word from God, and he said to the people, this is what we're going to do. So command the people to get provisions for themselves. So basically what he's saying to us is, he says, get your affairs in order. Get your finances in order. Get your home in order. Get your calendar in order. I'm being practical for you right now. That's what it was. It was like, get stuff in order so that you can go into the promises of God, because unless you get your life in order, your calendar, your finances, your work under control, you'll never get the promises of God. So he says, okay, so this is it. See, when you have a word from God and you have a big enough why, how is never a problem. See, many people, they go, how's God going to do this? Joshua can say, hey, God, I don't know how you're going to do this. There's a Jordan River here. Listen, God is going to ask us as a people, because this word is all about a people. It's a people. This is not a person. This is a people. Look around. You're amongst, who are you with here? People. I believe, I don't know if you're here for the first time or the 80th time or the 100th time or the 8 years time. I don't know what that is, but I believe you found your people. See, when you find your tribe, you find your people. They're your people. Come on, I believe you did. I believe you found them. And so now this is your people. So we're going to have to respond, and God's going to ask us to do things. When God asked Natalie and I to go to go on staff at the church, we were under authority. We were under the leaders. We had one child under two, and another child on the way. And I left my job, went to work at the church. And a couple weeks later, I said, "Hey, do we get paid for this?" I'm just going to tell you this. We never sought a position. We just sought Jesus. I just want to relate to Jesus. I just want to be close to him. And wherever he takes me, I'm going to go. And so we worked there. And after a couple weeks later, the Pastor John, who was there at the time, and he said, "Yeah," I said, "I'm meaning to talk to you about that." I said, "Well, today's a good day." And it offered us money, and it wasn't near what we were making before. It didn't have any health benefits. We had a baby, baby coming real soon. But I'm just going to tell you this. We loved Jesus, and we had a word from God. We were under authority of the leaders in our life. Write that down, because many people miss that. And we knew that God was going to provide, because we had our house in order. We had our finances in order. We had our calendar in order. God's about to do something. We don't see it, but he's going to do it. This is called faith. We had the title deed. And we weren't alone in this. We were processing what God wants to do in our lives. We had a why. We were under authority. And so we knew that there was this thing called consecration. We were driven by relationship to God and consecration here. So let's look forward to Joshua 3:5. First, Joshua says, make provision for yourself. Get yourself in order. In chapter 3, verse 5, he uses this word here. He says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow will do great, God's going to do great things among you. I believe that many times in our lives, we don't see God doing great things among us because we're not consecrating ourselves unto God. What does this mean? Purify. It means set aside worldly distractions. This is what it is. It means decrease distractions, increase devotion. The people that came up front here today and they shared about this thing called victory and freedom, what it is, it's a 12-hour day. It's over 12 hours that you decrease the worldly distractions, you increase your devotion, you focus on purity, and every single time, guess what happens? Jesus shows up. Every single time, without fail. Been doing this now for 18 years, every single time. It never gets old. No, and seeing lives get changed and transformed gets old, we got to go back and meet Jesus again. Come on, somebody. Yeah. See, this is what it is. Yeah, spectacular results are always preceded by unspectacular preparation. That's the truth here. And this is what it is. We're just going to consecrate ourselves. We're going to look to Jesus. Why did they need to do this? The Jordan River, which is normally about 100 feet wide, somewhere between 3 to 8 feet deep in places. At this time of the year, when God wanted them to cross, it was over a mile wide at places, and it was, you know, 25, 30, 50 feet deep. It was a raging impasse at the time of year that God wanted them to go through. Listen, I'm here to tell you, if you're waiting for your circumstances to all be peachy keen and line up, you ain't never going to do anything. It's like saying, I'm going to wait till I have enough money to have kids. Anybody that has kids will tell you there ain't enough money to have kids. Come on, somebody. Anybody with me now? Yeah, come on, somebody. I see those hands. You don't wait for enough money. You have a word from God. You listen, this is what it is. And I mean, I think sometimes we're waiting till we can figure it out and tell God what he can do rather than saying, God, what do you want me to do? I'm going to consecrate myself unto that. Because there's a raging impasse in many of our lives right now that God is, you're looking at and you're saying, I can't get across it. And God's saying, now you get it. But purify yourself, set yourself apart, decrease the distractions in your life, increase your devotion, and watch what will happen. See, too many people respond according to their skill, not according to their faith. I thought that was pretty good. No, see, Joshua, he was not a skilled warrior. He was leading an army. He had nothing like that. But I'm going to tell you this. There's 3 days. How many of y'all know God can do a lot in 3 days? Come on, how many of you know he can do a lot in 3 days? But waiting time is preparation time. And what do we do in the wait? I'm going to tell you today, you know, I was just going to speak on behalf of myself and Natalie. There's a lot of things we are waiting on right now. But I'm going to tell you, waiting is a divine summons by God. It's a subpoena from God to come be with me. I'm going to do something inside of you. And so if you're waiting for something, I want you today to write down, I have been summoned by God. God is doing something inside of me. This is it. It's a divine summons. Let me give you this Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. This word wait in Psalm 27:14 is a twisting. It's a stretching. It's a tension. Do you feel the tension in your life? That's a divine summons from God. Do you feel something being stretched in your life? That's God getting inside. He's saying, I'm doing something inside of you. And what's happening inside of you is way more important than what's happening to you. So get your eyes off where you are and your circumstance. Look to me that I'm consecrating you for me. I'm doing something inside of you. Yeah. Psalm 31:24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. So listen, is there any kind of faith other than courageous faith? If you didn't need courage, you wouldn't need faith. Fear. What's standing in between us as God's people and you into your promises, I guarantee you it's fear. It's fear that God can't be trusted. It's fear that people are going to let you down. It's fear that you've been hurt. It's fear of all these things have captured you, and you've been allowed yourself to be captured. And God is saying, I want to free you even from that thing in your mind so I can free you from that to get you set free to go into the promises of God. Do I need to say that again? Come on, I'm telling you, God's doing something here. So Joshua spent a lot of time early in the morning seeking God. Decrease distraction, increase devotion. Early in the morning, over and over. As you read the book of Joshua, as we continue to go through it, you're going to see early in the morning. Joshua heard God. 10 times recorded, Joshua heard God. It was in the midst of his consecration that God said to him, this is what I want you to do. God is speaking all the time. He doesn't have a speaking problem. We have a hearing problem. No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Listen, somebody came to me recently and they said, you know, and this is what they said. They said, we want something deep from God. And I said, how about we go back and do what he already told us to do? Most of us in this room, I'm just going to speak on behalf of me. If you want to share this, you can. Most of us in this room right now, we're educated in the Word of God far above and beyond our level of obedience. Our faith level. Our faith in God that says, I believe God is going to do something. He can and he will. And I'm anticipating what he's doing. I don't know about you. I didn't come here today out of obligation. I didn't come here out of duty. I didn't come here because Pastor Gary's not here or I have a job to do. I came here today out of expectation and anticipation that if we consecrate ourselves unto God, he's going to show up. He's going to speak to us. See, we got to get out of obligation here and say that I got a word from God here. And we need to ask ourselves, is this a word from God or a word from Pastor Rick today? No, we got to ask ourselves, because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, this is what it is. And we also, the Apostle Paul saying, I thank God constantly that when you received the word of God you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is the word of God, which is at work in you who believes. How many people in this room right now believe in God? How many of y'all believe that his word works? How many of y'all believe it's working inside of you? See, we got to ask ourselves, is this a word from Pastor Rick, Pastor Gary, from Doug, from whoever? Is this a word from them, or is this a word of God? See, this is the separating point. This is the separating thing in our lives right now. Is it from God? What is God asking me to do? What's my next step in response to him? Consecration. A people of courageous faith will be driven by consecration. They love purity before God. They love to be pure before him because they know that's where God does his best work. And the next part of this is community. I'm so thankful God doesn't leave me all by myself, but he put me in community. How many of y'all thank God? How many of y'all know that you're dangerous on your own? How many of y'all know? Come on, I'm serious. Yeah. Come on, you're dangerous. And you're not dangerous. Listen, on your own, you're not dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. You're probably more dangerous to the kingdom of light, just a thought. But that's why God puts us in community. So back in Joshua chapter 1, verse 12, and to the Reubenites and Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, now why was he talking to them? There were 2.5 tribes that were, there's 12 tribes total. They were supposed to go into the promised land. 2.5 tribes said, hey, the east side is a good side. And they didn't, they said, can we stay here and not go into the promised land? Because they had a lot of livestock, they had a lot of, you know, herds and stuff. And they said, this is a good land. Can we stay here? So they petitioned. Notice they didn't make their own decision. They petitioned Moses and they said, is it okay if we do this? Is it okay if we do this? And Moses said, yeah, you can stay on that side of the river. So they stayed on that side of the river, okay, because they had a blessing from God to do so. Okay, so there's 2.5 tribes. So he said, remember the word, verse 13, that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. The Lord your God is providing a place of rest for your land. Verse 14, your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor, how many men of valor do we have here? How many men of valor are here? Thank you. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, you need to come back next week. Because next week, it's going to be a good gift for you. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this. You want to tell every dad and every dude you know, you want to come here next week. It's going to be about men of valor. Now, ladies, that doesn't mean you need to stay home. I saw it. You shall pass over Arnon before the brothers, and you shall help them until the Lord your God gives you rest. So basically, the 2.5 tribes that already received their inheritance had to go and fight for the ones who didn't have their inheritance yet. You may be here today, and you may be walking into all the fullness of God on your life, and all the fullness of God, and all the promises of God are yours. But I want to tell you that it's all of us together need to go and fight for those who have yet to cross their Jordan. So if you're here today, and you say, well, I got the promises of God on me, I know what I'm doing, it's all okay, well, then you need to start getting into the Jordan. You need to get your toes in there. You need to get the covenant of God and go lead the way so other people can come through dry ground. See, we got to start borrowing one another's faith. We got to start working together at one another's faith. How do we borrow one another's faith? It's simple, man. I'm down. I'm not doing it on my own. I'm having trouble. And so maybe you have what I need. We're going to pray. We are going to declare God's word. We are going to speak God's word over you. You need a job? We're going to pray for a job. You need physical healing? We're going to pray physical healing. Come on. You need a miracle for your family? We're going to get a miracle for your family here. See, many of us have bought into that the longer we serve God, the more self-sufficient and independent we should become, when that's a lie from the pit of hell. I'm here to tell you today that God has called us into more interdependence and more self-sufficiency, more God-sufficiency, less self-sufficiency, because I'm telling you right now, we have fallen into, I'm going to depend on me, my skill, my work. And listen, if we are not activating more faith than the day we got saved, I think we're backslidden. No, I'm serious. I believe God is speaking to you today, to a community of people, to a people of God. I got so much more for you than you realize. You think these chairs are nice. Come on, somebody. Hey, I'm all about nice chairs. I'm all about air conditioning. I'm all about all those things. But let's not worship that. Let's worship God. Let's fill up every chair with lives that are changed and transformed, lives that meet Jesus Christ, and lives that have been changed by Him in His grace, in a community of believers that we're using our faith together. Is anybody with me now? See, come on, this is what it is. See, adversity is what draws us closer. This is why we need family. If you have a river in your life, we have rivers of impasse and raging in our lives. We have situations that God put us into a tribe. He put us into a bigger something than ourselves so that we can accomplish more than we could ever do on our own. God has some courageous faith for us today. How about you? Yeah. Sometimes the problem is not the problem itself, it's the temptation to solve the problem on our own. Yeah. Come on. I want to be a part of a faith, and I just want to take a minute and invite you to partake of what we call at Bridge City Church, the Pittsburgh Missions Trip. It's 3 days. How many of y'all know God can do a lot in 3 days? It's 3 days. This is what happens when you do missions. You decrease all the distractions in your life, and you get out of your norm, and you have time to increase your devotion with God. I don't care if it's in Kenya, where Pastor Gary is, or Liberia, or Guatemala, or Honduras, or Buffalo, or wherever you want to go. That's what happens. And you get into a community, and you focus and you work together until people irritate you. Sometimes it doesn't take that long. But we get into community and our faith begins to grow. And I'm inviting you into 3 days to just get it back in and see our territory differently, because God has a territory for Bridge City Church and on your life that He wants to give you. So I'm asking you to sign up and get equipped and begin to see things different, consecrate your life, get into community, be driven by this, and watch what God will do when you see your territory different, when you see faith different, when you see that being courageous can be a normal part of your everyday life. I'm inviting you to partake. I'm inviting you to come. I'm inviting you to do this. Come on, a people of courageous faith will be driven by consecration. They will be driven by community. And the last one, they will be driven by commitment. Commitment. Listen, I want to see God show up big time. How about you? See, I want to do things. This is my big prayer this morning. I was sending this prayer to everybody who would actually listen to me. I just praying for people and pastors this morning. I want to be a part of something so big that only God could get the credit for it. That no man could get credit for it. No man could put a stamp on it that only God could. But I realize the only way to do that is through faith and through commitment. And so as we go through Joshua here in Joshua 1:16, and they answered Joshua. Check this out. This is awesome. This is men of valor talk here. All that you commanded us, we will. Yeah. And wherever you send us, we will. I just invited you to the Pittsburgh missions trip. Whatever you command us, we will do. Wherever you tell us to go, we will. Yeah, you're getting it. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, we're going to obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you. In verse 18, this is a good one. I love it. Come on. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. I'm reading to you from the Bible this morning. Only be strong and courageous. God, are you reading? Did you read the word with me this morning? Isn't that what they said? See, we wonder why God isn't doing bigger things and greater things sometimes, because we're only doing what we could do on our own. We're only believing God to do what I already am doing on my own. Rather than I'm going to believe God, I'm going to have faith in God. Because next time on October 14th, when we do Victory and Freedom Day, listen, there's going to be more people get set free. So the big question is, are you going to be one of them or not? I've been there, done that. Oh, let's never be the duns. Let's never be a been there, done that people. Let's be a yes and amen people. See, how about we just start putting into practice that I'm going to say yes to God even before he asks me anything. What happens if every day when you're walking up here and every Sunday, before you climb those steps, you just stand there and say, God, whatever you ask me today, I'm going to do. Especially we didn't think about that today. You might have been filled with what you're doing the rest of the day. And, oh, it's finally going to rain this week. Or, boy, I hope the message is good. Hope they sing my favorite song. It could have been filled with many things, but very rarely is it, yes, God, whatever you ask me, I'm in. Before you even ask, yes. My wife and I, we were at a restaurant a while back, and I think menus are for people who don't know what they want. I like to create my own. And many times when I'm out, I want a little bit of this and this, and so I started my usual. First, Natalie asked for something special, and before it was out of her mouth, he said, yes. I said, I like him. And so it came my turn. I just said, I want this. Before I even said what I wanted, he said, yes. But I want this, and yes. And so I'm having fun at this point. And so I said, but I want a little bit of this, and a little bit of this, and a little bit of that. And he goes, yes. Yes. His answer was yes before the request was out. And I began thinking to myself, what if we as God's people had this? What if we just start saying yes to God even before we had it figured out? Yes, God, I'm going to make a sacrificial gift. Yes, God, I'm going to give and tithe. Yes, I'm going to be a part of that mission trip. Yes, I'm going to take my step. I'm going to go beyond my fear of my past and a fear of my future and a fear of everything else. And I'm just going to say yes. Because at some point when it comes to commitment, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have to take a leap of faith. There will be no faith fulfilled until you take a leap of faith. We were in Jamaica a couple years ago, and we were at the place in Jamaica where there's people jumping off cliffs. And I went there, and I hate heights. And I'm looking at the cliff, and I'm like, Nally and I are just sitting off at the side watching. And then all of a sudden, I just took off. And I didn't tell Natalie. She said later, all of a sudden I look up and there you go. I'm going to tell you why I did it that way. I knew if I went up there and I stood and looked down, the common sense would kick in. I'm being honest with you. My logical mind would say, you ain't doing this. So I waited until nobody was there. And I sat there and I waited. And I said, nobody's in line. Nobody's there. And I just took off because I was a man on a mission. And I got to the top. I never looked down. I got back. I just waited for the okay from somebody. And I just ran. You know what God's asking for some of us today? Just commit and go for it. That's how faith is. Stay under authority. Stay committed to His Word. Consecrate. Stay in community. But you know what God's waiting for in your life? It's for you just to commit and go for it. Let's not let we all took a step of faith to walk into church the first time. Who can we go out and invite to church to come with us and help them take their first step of faith? Who is it? Let's not allow our last step of faith to be our last step. Let's just make it one step in the process. That's what they were sharing up front here. There's a process to healing. There's a process to faith. There's a process to courage. Are you with me this morning? There's people here, you're fearful. And God's saying, get your provisions in order, get your house in order, get your finances in order, and leap. If you're waiting until you have enough money to start giving to God, you're never going to have enough. I'm telling you right now, you'll never have enough. Because you're just like me. I know how to figure out your cost of living. Just take what you presently make and add 10%. That's your cost of living, because that's how we think. But that's not how God's economy goes. You want to see God show up? There's going to be a leap of faith. There's going to be a leap, a step of faith. Maybe God's causing you to invite somebody. Maybe He's causing you to take a step and pray for somebody. He's causing you to take a step and say, I'm just going to trust God one more time, because there's many people in this room right now. You're on the verge of faith. You're on the verge of a breakthrough. And don't be like so many people who give up right before they get what God has for them. Would you stand to your feet with me today? What are we believing God for that would only take Him to get? Let me summarize chapter 2 for you. Chapter 2 in Joshua is this. They went into the land. A couple spies went in. And the last verse in chapter 2 is really simple. They're terrified of us. How would you act this week if you saw the devil is terrified of you? How would you respond in faith if you knew that you knew the devil was terrified of us? That's the truth. And when we get a picture that he's given us, victory. He's given us consecration and community and commitment for His good. I'm telling you, we're about to take a leap of faith. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this great group of people today. I pray, God, for an infusion of faith, for an impartation of life. If you're here today and anything that was spoken to you, just you feel a challenge in your heart to courageous faith, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you today. If you feel a challenge in your heart right now, I pray for every hand that's up right now. The people who want to take a step of faith, every hand that's up in a step of faith, I pray for an impartation of Your Holy Spirit right now, that they're going to go beyond their fear, go beyond their natural circumstances, go beyond their own skill level, and they're going to learn to live in faith. I thank You for every hand that's up right now, that they're faith-filled people right now, faith-filled people. Thank You for the faith-filled people at Bridge City Church right now. Thank You, Father. Thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus. God, you can put your hands down. I want to speak to a different group of people today. I don't know where you are with God. I don't know what God has done in your life or your struggles. I don't know where you live. I don't know those things, but I do know this. If you've never had a day, a moment, or a time when you asked Jesus Christ to be the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future, you came to the right place today. In Romans, come on, Romans 10. If you confess with your mouth that and Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you too can be saved. I didn't say, do you believe in God? I didn't say, do you acknowledge a God? Have you transferred the trust off of your life fully and completely onto God and said, Jesus, I want You to lead me into my future? If you don't have a day or a time or a moment that you officially did that, I want to invite today to be that day. So I want you to boldly, I want you to proudly, if that's you today, I just want you to slip up your hand right where you are and say, Pastor, that's me today. I want today to be my day. Anybody in the house today that says, I want today to be my day to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Anybody at all? Lord Jesus, I pray over everybody in this room right now. Lord God, I thank You, Father. I thank You, Jesus, God, for steps of faith, bold, courageous steps of faith, for a people that's consecrated, a people in community, and a people of commitment. Thank You, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You guys rock. You can be seated.